Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. As you've probably figured out, if you know Dr. Jesse Green's voice, this is not it. My name is Tyson Franklin. I am a good friend of Jesse Green's, and we're celebrating the 200th episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast. So Jesse's asked me to come on because we have a very, very special guest today, and it's Dr. Jesse Green himself. So Jesse, welcome to your own show. How are you doing?
Mate, I'm really well. Thank you so much for coming on and having a chat and doing this, because you've been a regular guest on our show, mate, and you are officially a repeat offender. So I thought, who better than to have on for the 200th guest and or 200th show? And so thank you, mate. It's really good.
And we became good friends through podcasting.
We did.
So that's how we met at a podcast conference, you know, like officially. And that's how we became good friends. So I think it's great. And I want to point out to people too, this is the 200th episode. And in the world of podcasting, that is a major milestone to actually hit the 200 mark. It's better than any cricket player hitting a century.
I love the way you got the cricket metaphor in there nice and early, mate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I thought I'd have to get in there. I was going to say, raise the bat for Jesse before you said it.
Oh, thank you, mate. No, look,
so how's it feel to hit 200 episodes?
Look, Tyson, it's really, there's lots of feelings, I'd say. Obviously, certainly very grateful to the audience for sticking with us for 200 episodes, and really grateful to our guests who've come back, some of them several times, yourself and others. And I think just, you know, really pleased that, you know, the podcast has continued on and we get some nice comments from time to time. And it's just really nice to know that sometimes the work you do, people listen to. So it's good. It's good. And it's been lovely, Matt. I'm very grateful is probably my overwhelming feeling.
Yeah. And if you put it in the context of time, you'd be coming up to almost 4 years then.
It is 4 years. Yeah. It'll be 4 years early next year. And so that means we've, you know, consistently had to put out an episode each week. And mate, you run your own podcast. You've got two podcasts, in fact. So you know that there's a fair bit of work behind that. So it's been really great.
So over this four-year period of doing it, did you take any breaks at all, or were you consistent every week you brought out an episode?
I think maybe we missed 1 week somewhere in there, and I can't remember why that was. There was some circumstances around that, but other than that, it's been every week. So yeah, it's been certainly a measure of consistency for us and something we've committed to, and we've had to build some discipline and structure around as well, because when you start, mate, as you know, you don't have your process, you don't quite know how you're going to make it all work, and you figure that out as you go. So we've had to figure that out and then systemize it and then, you know, commit to that system and to make sure we put something out each week.
Okay. So starting from episode zero, it must be sort of strange, like looking ahead, like back when you did episode zero, what you're thinking would be by the time you actually got 200. So what you've learned over that process, especially like the consistency side of things, has it taught you some other things in life? Like being consistent with podcasting, has it sort of affected the way you sort of approach business as well?
I think the point you make is really important, because there's lots of lessons that come out of everything. And consistency, I think, is a really important lesson for anyone in business to do the fundamentals really well day in, day out. And I think for most of us in business, if we can master those fundamentals and execute upon them consistently and well, then I think you're halfway there, more than halfway there. And so definitely the consistency piece has taught me that. It's also taught me the importance of routine. We tend to batch record our podcast. I'm not sure if you do that or not, mate, but we tend to record quite a few episodes on a given day. And so it's taught me a bit around, you know, batching, time management. It's taught me that habit of just making sure you've got your structure in place. You know, you're running your templated diary. You know, I know that on Fridays I like to record podcasts and all that sort of stuff. And we are indeed recording this on a Friday. So, yeah, so there's been those little things that I think have crept in. And yeah, it's been lots of lessons have come out of that. And a lot of lessons have come from listening to smart guests on the show, I should say. And there's just really been some great conversations have come out of that where I go, wow, that's a really good idea. I'd never thought of that. Or that's a really good perspective. I'd never considered that. So it's been lots of lessons learned out of it, mate.
Yeah. So I know when we're talking with some of the dental clients, we talk a lot about time blocking and blocking out units of production.
Yes.
And sort of what you're saying, how you actually even group your podcast recordings just on a Friday. So you know that that's consistently going to get done.
Yes.
And there was a friend of mine, I think it's a mutual friend, Sam Harrop.
Yep. Hi, Sam Harrop? Yeah.
I remember Sam saying that if you don't control your diary, then what you're saying is you're letting other people control your diary. And therefore, things get really untidy very fast. So it's quite interesting what we talk to dental clients about units of production and blocking out things in their diary to get stuff done, is exactly what you've done in podcasting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I, you know, Sam is a smart dude, as you know, and a nice guy as well. And yeah, certainly that methodology is something that I've tried to apply to most of my life. You know, when I'm doing something, I'm really in it, I'm doing it. And so I like the idea of putting boundaries around time. I like to be disciplined with what I do. And there's a great expression, I think Jim Rohn said it, that you either, you know, we all suffer one of two things, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And so I'm trying to go for the former in that regard. It's a nice quote from Jim Rohn that I try to just keep in the back of my mind. The only problem with this though, Tyson, is my 15-year-old daughter, as I was eating a chocolate, says to me, "Dad, you either suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret." So I got halfway through this chocolate and had to put it down. It was terrible.
I reckon they should put that on your bar fridge as well.
I reckon
that'd be a great sticker on your bar fridge.
I think it's probably true. So yeah, so I think that we've tried to employ a bit of discipline around it, a bit of structure around it, take control of time. And I like your point as well that if you don't control your time, someone else will. So, and their priorities may or may not align with yours. So I think for anyone listening, there's some lessons there around making sure you put some boundaries around your time.
Okay, so obviously being consistent, working on your diary, making sure that's all organized is what a big thing that you've learned. And you probably learned, you knew all this before you started podcasting.
Yeah.
You sort of think podcasting is just going to fall into place. You don't realize how much planning goes behind organizing guests. There's stuff that people do not understand on what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Just to produce a half hour or 1 hour show. What else have you learned? What else has podcasting taught you that you were unaware of at the time when you started?
So I think the big thing that I was aware of this, but I learned it at a new level. And that is the importance of asking high quality questions. And so, you know, the work that we do as dentists clinically, we ask our patients questions, we ask our team questions. And so for me, learning that the quality of the question dictates the quality of the answer has been a really important thing. And I've recorded some episodes on the show and I go back and listen to them and I think maybe I could have asked a better or more intelligent question, or maybe I could have got more out of that guest if I'd asked the questions in a different order or something like that. So just learning to try and be better at asking questions, to be inquisitive, to be curious, I think even though I knew that, I learned it and appreciated it at a whole different level. And I think that's something that I've taken away from podcasting and I'm really grateful for that experience.
Have you gone back and listened to any of your earlier episodes?
Oh, God, yes. And I'd cringe.
I just wrote down cringe on a piece of paper in front of me remind me to ask you about earlier episodes. Because I just thought what was happening, I was thinking of repurposing an older, one of the earlier podcasts that I knew had plenty of downloads, was really popular. And I went, I'm going to repurpose this over a holiday period.
Yep.
And I went back and listened to it and I went, oh, there's no way I'm going to really use that. That sounded terrible. I don't know what was happening. My voice wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. It was, maybe it was the audio setup. I was hearing heaps of pops.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, so the reason I asked that is, like, I know there's dentists listening to this podcast. I know there's people outside of dentistry that listen to this podcast. I know a lot of podiatrists that enjoy this podcast. And the reason I brought that up is whatever they're doing now, they're going to be better in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time.
Yeah. And to be kind to yourself throughout that process, right? Because learning new skills takes time. It takes repetition. It takes degree of failure sometimes to make mistakes and fall on your face and to try and get better next time. And if I go back and listen to my early podcast episodes, I'm always amazed at how good the guests are and how terrible I am. Yeah, I think some of those podcasts, you know, had lots of listens in spite of me, because I think the guests were perhaps a little more experienced at that than I was. and they were able to carry that conversation throughout. And so I think that your point is absolutely spot on, Tyson. I think that for anyone listening to this, as you try something new, attempt something that you haven't done before, then I think there's got to be a little bit of a learning curve there, and perhaps being patient with yourself and being kind to yourself and appreciating the fact that, as you said, in a year's time or 2 years' time or 3 years' time, you will be better than you are today. And whether that's clinical work, running your practice, whatever it happens to be, you do develop skills. And interestingly, Tyson, just on that, I was talking to a guy, Ray, who was the previous owner of our practice. And I hope this is not too much of a tangent, but anyway, it's kind of related.
And I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll edit it out.
If all of a sudden the conversation now goes on to cats playing the piano, we know we edited this section out.
Yeah, exactly. If I hear snoring coming through the line, I'll know I've lost you.
Yep.
But anyway, Ray was the owner of our practice before we were, and I'd known Ray years before that from when we had our previous practice. And he's a really nice guy, wise guy. He's quite a bit older than me and is a bit of a mentor. And I was talking to him a little bit about the aging process, and obviously we're all aging and I'm getting a bit older, and I noticed that my perspectives shift and so on. And I was asking him whether he'd experienced that as well, or whether I was just a freak and whether there was something in that. And the point he made was that as we all age, we accumulate experience, we accumulate lessons, we accumulate wisdom. And so by definition, your perspective should change. And so I guess tying into the comment that you made earlier, that as you take on new things, you will get better at those things, I guess my additional comment would be that as you go through your career, things that are important to you now may be less important later, or things that are unimportant now might be more important later. And there's always going to be new skills, new things that come up along the way. So I guess just to tie into that, I think that your life, your career is an ever-evolving, ever-moving feast.
Yeah, and I think if you relate it back to podcasting, like what we've gone over ourselves over the last couple of years, is some of the things I used to worry about with producing a podcast, I don't worry about now, and the podcast is better.
Yeah,
and I think in practice, it's the same thing. You worry sometimes about things that are out of your control that you cannot change, and you're not putting your time and energy into the areas of your practice that you should. But then as time goes on, you start realizing, you know what, why am I worrying about this? That's somebody else's job.
Yeah.
I'll get on to do what I like to do, and your practice becomes better.
Yeah, and I think there's also a lesson in what you're saying as well, mate, and that is not to sweat the small stuff, right? There's 100 little details that you could spend hours and hours and hours obsessing over, fussing over, but do they really make a difference? Do they move the needle, as you and I like to talk about? And so I guess for anyone listening here, it's about making sure you're not majoring in the minors and spending time on the things that do make the difference. And I think whether it's podcasting, whether it's dentistry, and even if we've got podiatrists listening, even in podiatry, it's the same thing. We've got to make sure we spend our time and energy on the things that make the biggest difference and get that return on effort, return on time, return on energy. And that's the lesson that I've had to learn over the years. And I'm sure we all go through that.
And the good part is through this learning curve, whether it's regardless of what you're trying, especially in practice, there's all these new skills constantly coming through that you need to learn, but nothing kills you.
No. So
even though I can ask a group of people who here loves public speaking.
Yep.
And there's, you know, or who here hates public speaking is probably a better thing. And more people will put their hand up that they don't like it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a really important aspect of your business that you need to be able to communicate with people. And when I talk about public speaking, it could be just conversing with somebody in an elevator.
Totally. Yeah,
can you do that?
Yeah. I think the art of conversation and speaking is something that's really important. And, you know, we live in a digital world, and, you know, I like digital things a lot, quite into all the latest things that are happening on the internet or what apps are being used or social media platforms. And I know you are too. And in spite of my interest in that, I'm still very much a believer in the spoken word, the ability to converse with another human being face to face, the ability to relate, the ability to empathize, the ability to build a relationship. And much as I like to embrace technology, I think that there's a risk there that we lose the ability to really converse, the ability to really connect through words. And dentistry, podiatry, business in general, everything is a person to person business, and we don't do business with companies, we do business with people. And so that's why sometimes, in spite of my interest in technology, I feel a little bit like Back to the Future is a good way to go on occasion.
Oh, old school.
Old school. I
mean, yeah, just talking and communicating with people. And people that I've employed in the past, the team members who have never really lasted in my practice when I had it were people that lacked communication skills. Mm. They may have had the great technical skills, but they're useless if you cannot communicate what it is that you're trying, the message you're trying to get across to the patient.
Yeah, and I think even though everyone hears communication skills are important, and I agree with you, technical skills are important, but you need those communication skills to round it out. And we all know that. And what amazes me from time to time is that even though we know that, we don't spend time developing that skill. We just kind of think that we were born learning to speak, therefore we can communicate. And I would argue that being able to speak does not equate to communication. Communication for me is being able to speak in a way that allows a message to be transferred and received in the way it's intended, or the ability to influence, the ability to create an outcome. And I think we need to be really conscious how we choose our words, how we use our words, and use them and choose them with a specific and deliberate intention behind it. And ultimately, I think if we can be conscious of that, then I think we're going to be more effective in our communication.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part with communication, not just verbal, but even written communication. Sometimes you can write something down, and how you write it and how they're reading it can be two completely different messages. Yeah. That's the thing about technology that I don't like email, for example. It's helped us communicate with people more often, but poorly.
Yeah. It becomes more transactional, right?
Yeah, we can communicate with them really easily, but some of the rubbish that we write, the person on the other end receiving it sort of goes, really? Is that what you're saying? And it may not be.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly right. And that's why I do like human-to-human conversation like we're having now. And ladies and gents, if you're listening to this, we are doing this as a video call. So Tyson and I can see each other, but we're just going to give you guys the audio. But being able to see someone, being able to connect with someone, hearing the tone, the inflection in their voice, all those sorts of things allow you to receive that message much more clearly. And I think as we go about our clinical work, understanding that there's nuance in the delivery of how we speak is going to be key. So that's
It's a shame we didn't record the video.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, both of us sitting here at the moment wearing our superhero costumes would have looked fantastic.
Yeah, ladies and gents, be grateful for small blessings is all I can say.
Hey, I've got a question for you. It's unrelated to podcasting.
Go for it.
But I like to ask people this. Who's your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero has to be Batman.
Oh, true. You've mentioned Batman a lot of the times.
Yeah, I do like Batman.
That's why when we're together and I refer to you as Robin, you get insulted.
I call you Alfred, that's why. Because yeah, you're a bit older than me.
Yeah, I like Captain America. I always say to people, who's your favorite superhero? And a lot of people, no, I'm not into that. And I go, no, come on, serious. Everybody has a superhero that they admire.
Yep.
And even the people who just, I'm not into that, or eventually go, okay, it's Thor. There's always one. But anyway, let's get back onto your podcast.
Before we leave, what is it about Captain America that you like?
Oh, I know. It reminds me of me. Yeah, wholesome, honest, good looking.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about him, he's one of the few superheroes that accidentally became a superhero. But before he was a superhero, he was 100% wanting to join the Marines with the best intentions to protect his country, his fellow man.
Yep.
And that's what I really liked about his character. Then he became a superhero, and when he did, nothing really changed. He still was the same person, but with all these extra powers. And even with that, no matter how bad the other people are, he never actually tries to hurt them.
Yeah.
Okay. He tries to stop them doing what they're doing, tries to protect the people around him. And yeah, I'm sure sometimes some of them do get hurt, but that's never his intention.
Oh, there you go. Ladies and gents, if you're listening to this show, one of the things you need to understand about Tyson is when he had his practice, each room was themed with a superhero, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So the superhero thing runs deep in Tyson's life. So I really like that. I think there's some good lessons to be drawn from that.
Yeah, we thought we'd just change the clinic up. Instead of in clinic room one, clinic room two, we had the Green Lantern, Superman, Spider-Man, even on the toilet door, you know, on the bathroom door, we had Thor's hammer. He's the god of thunder. The patients used to find it hilarious.
I'm sure.
Anyway.
But that's really on brand for you too, because you like to have a laugh, you like to enjoy things. And so I think that's really good branding as well.
So and a lot of patients used to comment on it. We'd have kids walking into the rooms and they would say, oh, I was in the Green Lantern room today.
Nice.
And yeah, my wife's office was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And on my office door, actually, because I wasn't there a lot, everyone agreed that mine was the Invisible Man that they put on my door because I was just never there. They'd never see me.
That's because you'd created a business that ran without you, mate, which is great.
Yeah, and then the staff room was the back cave.
Oh, there you go.
Well, it had the back cave on the door, but when you opened up, we had done our staff room up as like Margaritaville.
Okay. I just want to know if you had poles that came down through the ceiling to the back cave.
It was coming.
Especially if it's Margaritaville. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with Margaritaville?
I know. What could go wrong in Margaritaville?
Yeah, with a couple of poles. But anyway, that's another conversation for another time.
We've digressed. Let's get back on track.
Yep.
So of all the guests you've had, have you ever had any guests, and I think this is a really important question, that have made you nervous?
Yes.
You had a couple?
I have had a couple, mainly because I was a bit of a fanboy and I was worried about gushing too much. I was nervous to introduce, I was nervous to interview Vern Harnish, who is the author of a book called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits and another book called Scaling Up. And he's also the founder of Entrepreneurs Organization. So I was very nervous about interviewing him and he was a wonderful guest. I was also nervous to interview Mike Michalowicz, who is the author of a book called Profit First and Clockwork and a few others. And I was nervous to interview Ben Eichen, even though Ben Eichen was a neighbor of mine in Brisbane. It's just his stature and his profile and all those other sorts of things. You kind of forget that they're just like you and they pull their pants up in the morning and have the same things going on in their life that you do. But when you put people up on a pedestal or there's people that you've admired for a long period of time, yeah, I certainly got a few nerves, a few butterflies and made a few bloopers along the way. So, you know, the few things had to be edited out as I tripped over my tongue a few times.
Yeah, I've done that. But you also had on one of your podcasts, it was a small audio snippet of Richard Branson.
I did.
That was pretty awesome. Even though I'm sort of wondering if he knew he was being recorded, it was sort of like you slipped it under his table.
We did.
No,
we didn't. We did get specific permission for that. And meeting Richard Branson, I was very, very nervous. But what was really interesting about Richard Branson is his public persona and his private life or personal persona is a little different. Everyone thinks of him as a prankster and a joker and all that sort of stuff. And sure, that's one element of his personality. But in real life, he's quiet, quietly spoken. He's very thoughtful. He's very considered. He's got a very strong sense of social justice. So even though he's a billionaire, he's really committed to helping others. And what I really like about that is that he's trying to be a force for good in the world, not just rip the guts out of a capitalist economy and go and live high off the hog. Yeah. So I like someone who gives back and he does that in spades. So yeah, he was great. And it was needing the brown undies that day.
Now, but the thing I liked when you did that recording with him, and I know that you asked permission, I know you didn't sneak a recorder in there because you mentioned on the podcast that you had permission to do it.
Yeah.
But what I liked is, you still, even though the recording that you did with, you didn't have your podcast equipment. You recorded it like on your phone.
I recorded on actually a little Zoom H1.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah. Because you could tell the quality of the recording was down. But the reason I wanted to bring that one up was sometimes you just got to be prepared for opportunities arise when you had the recorder thing on you, probably hoping maybe I can get a couple of minutes with Richard Branson.
Yeah.
And you were prepared.
Yeah. So when we went on that trip to Necker, and if anyone has the opportunity to go on a trip like that, just go. Just do what you need to do to make it happen and go, because you'll come away changed and different person in ways that you won't even anticipate. But my preparation for that trip as I was going, and I do this for when I go to events as well, is what do I want to try and achieve by going to this event or going to Necker Island in this case? And I had my things I wanted to learn, which was fine. But I wrote down a big wish list, which was interview Richard Branson. Now, didn't quite get the opportunity to sit down with him over a beer and say, hey, mate, tell me all about it. But he was gracious enough to allow part of the conversation we had going be recorded. And I owe a debt of gratitude to the organizer of that trip, to Deb Morenden, who facilitated that and paved the way.
Were you also his doubles partner in tennis?
I was his doubles partner in tennis. And yeah, he's competitive. Let me tell you, he's not there just to hit the ball over and make a rally. He's there to win. And when you serve a double fault, the glare is
from your own teammate. Oh, that's that's good though that he's got that fire in his belly.
He does. It's really good. But he also, when I remember hitting as a young kid, I used to play a lot of tennis, so I can hit a tennis ball relatively well, not brilliantly, but good enough. But I tell you, that's actually another story, Tyson, is I was crapping myself. I was petrified to get on the court with Richard Branson, and I nearly didn't play in that tournament because I was so nervous. And I thought, oh, bugger it. I'll stick my hand up. And then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Jesse, you're partnering Richard Branson in doubles. And, mate, that's just gold. Dan. That's
Did you win the tournament?
It was a round robin, so he played with lots of different people. Right.
Oh, okay.
And my mate, do you know Chris Robb? I'm sure you know Chris Robb.
Yeah, I know Chris Robb.
So Chris was on that trip. And Chris is, 6 foot 1, 6 foot 2. He's tall, lanky.
No, everyone's taller than you.
Well, everyone's taller than me, but he's still quite tall, right? And he served this thunderbolt, right? He served this serve, and it hit Richard Branson in the back of the head and dropped him like a sack of spuds. And
was he on his team?
He was on his team. So he was playing doubles with another dude by this stage. Chris, honestly, he belted this ball. I think he was trying to impress Richard with this thunderbolt serve to ace his opponent. But in the end, he clocked Richard Branson in the back of the head, dropped him like a sack of spuds, and there was this hush that fell over the tennis court. And everyone's going, oh, crap, what's going to happen?
He's killed Richard.
He's killed Richard. What's going to happen? Is there going to be an explosion? But to Richard Branson's wonderful credit and good nature, he just got up and went, wow, that hurt. And then when he was serving the second serve, he just stood on the other side of the net until the ball was in play and came back and joined the right side of the court. It was good fun.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was fun and funny. And anyway, but the other thing too was really interesting is Richard Branson, I have to say, he's a man of his word because, you know, when you go on that course, everyone's trying to get a photo with him and everyone's trying to get him to do something and it must be tiresome for him. And there was one guy that wanted a photo of Richard Branson reading his book. He doesn't want to do it because...
That means he's endorsing the book and he hasn't read the book and the book might be rubbish.
Exactly right. Exactly. So anyway, what they came up with is they said, I'll have a game of tennis and if you win, Mr. Participant, I'll do the book thing. If you lose, though, you've got to come to breakfast nude and do nude yoga. And... which, again, no one needs to see.
No.
So anyway, the guy on the course, Callum, he lost. And anyway, a bet's a bet. And so he came to breakfast very early in a towel, dropped his towel, sat down at the breakfast table long enough for someone to take a quick photo. We are hiding the ugly bits. And then also went down to the most private and secluded beach and did a couple of yoga poses, snapped a quick photo. And then when we caught up with Richard Branson later, he showed him the photos and Branson goes, fair play, I really appreciate that. Let me take a photo. You take a photo of me reading your book. And so he got the photo. So anyway.
Well, that's good because Richard Branson was testing this guy to see, okay, one, are you a man of your word?
Yep.
Yeah, so you want me to take a photo of your book, but I can't endorse the book. I don't really know you.
Yep.
We played each other, you lose. Are you now a man of your word? Are you going to put yourself out there? Be totally embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then I think, and Richard Branson could have easily not taken a photo with his book, but now he's realized the book must be okay because this guy's okay.
Yeah. So I haven't read the book, so I can't comment on the book, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, but I thought it was just good spirited and just a nice thing.
So I'll have to keep that in mind. If we ever have a bet, Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah, righto.
So back onto the podcast, 200 episodes, huge highlight. Oh, it's a huge milestone, as I mentioned before. What have been some of your probably more difficult parts of it? Have there been some things going through that you're sort of going, wow, this was tougher than I thought it was going to be, and I found it quite hard to overcome?
The consistency piece, we spoke about that earlier, but that was hard. It was a challenge, and there were plenty of times when it was inconvenient to record or something didn't work out or I needed a recording and the guest would cancel the last minute, you know, for whatever reason. Or I've had a couple of guests come on to the show and just want to take advantage of our audience and just try and use it as a platform to sell stuff. And I've had to politely say, no, that's not what we're here for. Yeah, I get that people come onto the show to try and reach an audience. And I think that, yeah. Yeah, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But when they take advantage of the good nature of the audience, I think that's unreasonable. So I've had to have a few necessary conversations with people around that.
Have you not released some episodes because of that? You've done the recording, done all the time, put all the time and effort into it, and at the end gone, I'm not going to release that.
Yeah, because I think, yes, I have several times because I've found that I can't disrespect the audience's time. My view is if the audience is going to take time out of their day to listen to us, we'd better make sure that we make it worth, better be sure we make it worth their while. Yeah, you know, we can't just put out some tripe and hope that it's going to be all right. So, yeah, I've had to say that. And when the guest has said, where's my episode? I just have to go back and say, I'm sorry, it didn't make the cut.
Well, how do they react to that?
Not well. Not well. And it's been...
Have you told them why? Have you said, you haven't made the cut because you consistently kept trying to just flog... You had your own agenda coming on and it was so blatantly obvious that the show's not a sales pitch. Did you tell them that? Or
yeah, I did. Probably not as forthrightly as that, but in essence, I said, look, I understand there's a message you're trying to get out. We're trying to create valuable content. I just don't think the mix of your message and our desire for content quite stacked up.
Okay, so obviously you were off there, Christmas list.
Yeah, black band.
But what's really important about that is we talk about it all the time about having necessary conversations with people.
Yes.
And it doesn't just apply to business.
No.
Sometimes you've got to have a necessary conversation with your partner.
Yep.
With your children, the next door neighbor.
Yep.
So it's good to see that even in podcasting, sometimes we have necessary conversations with people.
Yeah, we do. And again, I just think there's lots of mistakes I've made, Tyson, in the podcasting world and in business in general, heaps of mistakes, right? But there's things that when you're recording, you just know. You're kind of going, actually, this doesn't feel right. It feels icky. And I just don't want to put it out. I've had one episode where I had someone kind of defaming some people, and you know, I just can't put that out.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway.
Especially if the person can't defend themselves.
Well, that's true too, but it's just awkward and it's also just not necessary. It's just, it doesn't add value to the conversation.
Yeah. So, but I know one of your episodes in particular, that the audio wasn't the best, but you still released it anyway because the content was so good. And yep. I think that's really important. Sometimes in dental practices or in any practice, sometimes people, I've got to wait for it to be perfect before I release it. Like they're thinking of, say, shooting a video.
Yep.
Oh, the lighting's not right. My complexion, my hair. Sometimes you just got to get it out there, especially if the message is really important.
Yeah, totally. And that was one of the earlier ones as well where I was still learning about audio and trying to get better at that. And I think that's a never-ending journey.
But well, your audio was fine. It was their audio was really bad.
Yeah, but I didn't brief the guest properly. That was my fault. I didn't brief the guest properly. I didn't insist on a microphone. I didn't insist on a headset. Or I just let him use his iPhone thing. And even he, when he listened to the podcast, came back and said, oh, mate, the audio. I said, yeah, I know, but the content's good. So the lesson you pointed out there is really important. And that is, there are times when you've just got to go, you know what, that's still okay. And I can still live with that. And maybe my hair and my video is not quite what it should be. I did a video series a little while ago called Earn More, Work Less. And when we were shooting those videos as a podcast, you know, I've got all the podcast gear under the sun like you do. But shooting videos is different gear, different microphones, different things. And I was on a bit of a time frame to get these videos done. And it was a series of 20, 30 videos, I can't remember. And I reckon the first 10 of them I did straight into an iPhone with no audio, like just me speaking into the iPhone across the room. So the audio is terrible, but we just had to get it out and it was okay. And we picked up some better microphones for the remaining videos. But for anyone listening, if you're doing a practice video or video blog or Facebook Live or you know, whatever it happens to be, there are places and times when it is okay to just be okay. And it doesn't have to be super high production all the time.
Now, well, only last night, I put a video on Facebook.
Yep.
That was a video that I shot 4 years ago about how to strap your heels for heel pain.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And all it was just, I had the idea of doing it. Somebody grabbed their iPhone and we just recorded it there and then. Yep. And that video, now I haven't had my practice for 3.5 years, but that video, and it was only shot 4 years ago, had over, it's had over 25,000 views.
Wow.
So I actually put the video onto the Podiatry Legends Facebook page. And just to tell people, go, this video is not that great. It's so simple. It goes for 1 minute and 14 seconds. I go, the audio is not fantastic, but it's had over 25,000 views.
Yeah.
So there's people out there searching for the information you have in your head, and therefore it's important to get it out.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. And I think that's a really valuable lesson. And so, ladies and gents, you record some videos, do whatever you need to do, and don't worry about getting it perfect. Just publish it and it'll be okay. And if you, as Tyson said, if you've got a video that's not perfect, but it's getting 25,000 views, who cares? It's great.
You know, a video I'd love to see dentists do.
What's that?
How do I know when my toothbrush is no good?
Nice.
Like, how do you know when your toothbrush is no good? Now, my brother's a dentist, so yeah, it's been punched into me when my toothbrush needed to be changed.
Because he's your brother, I'm thinking it probably was too. Bit of sibling rivalry. Tyson, I've told you 100 times, this is when to change the toothbrush.
But but it's one of those things. Something as simple as that, like when do you change your toothbrush? Show people a quick video of this is what a toothbrush looks like when it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it looks like when it's overused. And it's at this point it needs to be changed. You could do that in 45 seconds.
Totally.
And that would be a useful video that I think people would watch.
And I think it's useful. It's useful content. So, yeah, I agree. I reckon there's going to be about 100 videos shot today about when to change your toothbrush.
Yeah, or as simple as, how do you floss your teeth?
Yep.
Like, it's fine to get the floss and just run it up and down, but sometimes you need a little bit more aggression.
Yeah, look, I think there's a variety of things that people could do videos on quickly, easily, simply. And again, get the iPhone out, get a little lavalier lapel mic and the iPhone adapter and off you go. It's all you need.
Well, I think the quality of the cameras these days and, like you said, hooking up a lapel mic onto them. I've got a lapel mic and I had an extension cable that I put on there. But there's another microphone, if people are interested, called Hey Mic.
Hey Mic.
Hey Mic, and it's a Bluetooth microphone built specifically for iPhones, and you can be about 20 meters away from your phone and it will still pick up perfect audio.
Nice.
It is pretty cool.
Okay.
And so therefore you could have someone holding an iPhone and you could be 10 meters away and you can come walking towards the iPhone talking and the audio is exactly the same all the way through it. It's really good.
That's clever. But
just a Bluetooth microphone. So there's a little tip for everybody.
There's a little.
So before we wrap up, Jesse, what else about podcasting that's kept you in it for this long? Because like you've got a cracking business already with Practice Max.
Yep.
Your coaching business is going great. You know the clients get a lot of value out of it. Why do you keep doing podcasting when everything else is going so well?
It's a really simple answer. I'm just going to sound a little bit cheesy and forgive me if it does. Have you come across Simon Sinek's work, Start With Why, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I've got the book.
So for me, my why in pretty much all that I do is to have interesting conversations with interesting people about interesting things. And so I really enjoy having a yarn. I enjoy talking to people and I walk away from every conversation learning something. Even the ones that weren't published, those episodes we spoke about, the guests on there were still awesome. They're nice people. Like they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I always learned something. So I've just got this thirst for knowledge. I like to learn things from people and I'm always surprised that there are just so many clever people around the place. And I'm always open to hearing something and learning something from them. So that's probably the first reason. And the second reason, Tyson, is that I just kind of feel like in the dental world, there's a lot of pieces of information that don't always tie together and sometimes even misinformation. And I want to be able to give people what I hope is useful information to better their practice, better their lives. And even if they don't work with us, that's totally cool. But if we've been able to make an impact in some small way and help someone somehow, then that's really nice. And that's why I do it, really. That's the really big reason. And most of the people that listen to the podcast will never do business with us, and that's okay. But if we've helped them in some way, then that's nice.
No, I think that's a great answer. So I want to thank you for coming on your own show.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you here. But for being the host. Yeah, this is episode 200. You've had 199 other people. I've been on multiple times. So maybe it's been 170 people that have been on the show.
Yeah.
And of all the other people that you know, ask you, I was only thinking about this last night, thinking about doing the recording this morning. Well, Jesse's asked me to do this, which was a big honor. So I want to thank you for trusting me to come on here and not make a complete idiot of myself.
Mate, I couldn't think of anyone better to do the job than you. You are not only a good friend, you're a very, very talented business dude, and I hold you in very, very high regard, and I'm pleased and proud to be able to call you a mate. So thank you.
No, thank you. And if we were in front of each other right now, we'd probably be hugging you out. I know how much Jesse loves to hug. So if you're at a dental conference and you see Jesse, please go up, embrace him. He loves it, absolutely adores it, and he feels he doesn't get enough. So just want to point that out to people.
Yeah, ladies and gents, Tyson's having a big dig at me because I'm not much of a hugger, but I'm getting better. So
you have to with me around. I know.
It's when you squeeze me on the backside that it gets a bit awkward.
Oh, was that inappropriate? I was unaware.
Sorry, I might edit that anyway.
Okay, Jesse, thank you very much for coming on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. You top bloke.
Thanks, mate.
Good friend.
I appreciate that, mate. You're a good man. And for all the listeners here, thanks for sticking with us for 200. It means the world to me. And we look forward to bringing you the next 200. So thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.